New York Fashion Week is all about this moment, right now, on the runway, and about what's around the corner. But if you just turn back the clock a little to the days before Fashion Week existed, it is quite a story.
Bonjour, mesdames, mademoiselles. It gives me great pleasure to be your cicerone on our adventurous little voyage into fashion land.
American fashion was also about the moment and the future, of course, back in 1939. And it was about taking its cues from Paris.
Et maintenant, our little peep into the coming season.
But World War II was looming. And by 1940, as the war intensified and the French fashion industry was thrown into turmoil, Vogue magazine was already posing the question, what will America do without Paris fashion?
In Hollywood, style center of the world, celebrated designers...
America did have its movie capital, which was positioning itself as the supreme fashion trendmaker.
Adrian, Hollywood's foremost studio designer, who creates the styles for the stars of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, probably has done more to influence style trends the world over than any other designer.
But after all, Hollywood looked to Paris too, as did the world. And in another year or so, the war transformed the world in every way. That included the fashion industry, which thrived on press coverage to generate excitement and income from the new season's work.
The occupation of Paris by the Nazis meant that all the Allied countries were cut off from fashion news for really the first time in centuries.
Valerie Steele, curator of the FIT Fashion Museum and author of 50 Years of Fashion, points out that in France there was still fashion. Even during the occupation, there were still clothes being sold.
The clothes were bought to some extent by black market millionaires. They were bought by Germans. They were bought by wealthy Italians.
For the French, the art of fashion was so deeply ingrained in their national identity, it became a matter of personal and patriotic pride to maintain some vestige of the business, even under the most miserable of circumstances. But that was Paris. The New York press couldn't get to Paris. That's when Eleanor Lambert stepped in.
She was a very dignified, wonderful woman.
The celebrated fashion editor Polly Mellon knew Lambert very well.
She had a passion for fashion and for designers, but people loved her. I was enormously fond of her.
Publicist and fashion enthusiast Eleanor Lambert simply invented New York Fashion Week at the height of World War II.
She was a publicist of true brilliance, and it's a pity you can't hear it directly from her, but she definitely came up with this amazing idea.
Actually, we can hear some words from Ms. Lambert, recorded in the 40s.
We work with a dozen or so members of the New York Fashion Press who are part of a panel. They have pre-selected the clothes from all over the New York markets. Several assistants and myself then pre-select the girls.
It was to be called Press Week at first, and it would celebrate not French fashion, but its own U.S. and New York fashion, right down to the last borough.
We have a collection of borough belles, each one typical of her neck of the woods. They all look different, too. The Brooklyn girl and the Manhattan girl are opposite types. And as for Queens, Bronx, and Richmond, well, they're all highly individual and pretty competitive, too.
So, in 1943, the week of fashion shows, press mania, publicity, breakfasts, and photographers was launched and was the model for many more.
It's to be a big variety show, a kind of giant vaudeville performance with a prologue showing a cross-section of women who get their clothes in New York. Up-to-the-minute styles that we will all be wearing this fall.
To the best of my knowledge, once Press Week was started in New York, it continued without a hiatus.
Once it had happened, it gave a kind of jump start to American fashion.
American designers were beginning to emerge already out from under the French in the 1930s, and they were beginning to be acknowledged, even if not by name. At least they were acknowledged as the American designer movement. That was happening in the 30s, and the 40s then amplified that.
By the 40s, some designers' names did surface.
Genuinely American designers like Bonnie Cashin and Claire McArdle. Certainly during the war, you had American Vogue and Harper's Bazaar comparing Claire McArdle's fashions to Martha Graham's dance, for example.
For those in the business, it was a thrilling moment. And as the 40s gave way to the 50s, Polly Mellon just couldn't believe it.
It was so exciting. I ran to work every day. It was a whole different way of dressing, less fancy, less uptight, much more exciting to a young person like myself. And it really affected the fashion market. And I think it started Europe looking at us, the American fashion market.
It was right around that time that New York was bursting with culture that was of interest to Europe and the world. Jazz, painting, writers, poets in full swing.
She's looking for a job, that is.
Women entered the workforce in greater numbers, and American design was aimed right at them.
See that Pat's pin dot jersey, Peter Pan collar, and sideswept beret make her a likely candidate.
So does that almost accidental emergence of New York Fashion Week during the Second World War and its growth into a twice-yearly extravaganza mean that New York triumphed and has remained at the center of fashion? Does it mean the world finally recognized America for the fashion smarts and style it displayed?
Europeans continue not to take American fashion very seriously. People still assume that Paris is first among equals, even if they add New York and Milan. Sometimes they'll add London, but sometimes not. Paris seems to, again, come out on top.
But surely even Paris recognizes that America contributed sportswear and the universally loved blue jeans.
Blue jeans, sure. The French admire Americans' blue jeans. That's easy to do and still patronize us, but not fashion with a capital F.
The rivalry continues. Still, New York Fashion Week, created at the world's darkest hour by a smart publicist who liked clothes, has made history, even if history is not necessarily what runway fashion is about. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.